Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Health Wealth podcast. We've got a great episode for you this week. I'm joined by two very special guests, Shamika Agun and her son, Rhys. They're going to be talking about their incredible health journey that they've been on. Rhys was diagnosed as autistic at 2 years old. He was nonverbal, and they've been on a very long and very hard journey over many years, struggling to get help through the medical system until Shamika basically had to take things into her own hands, researched herself, and incredibly has made absolutely brilliant improvements in Rhys's condition and Rhys's life, to the point that now he actually writes stories for other children with autism to inspire them. So we're going to have a chat to him first about his books and his stories, and then we're going to speak to Shamika about their story. So I hope you enjoy the show, and let's jump right in. My first question, Rhys, is what was it that made you want to start writing these books?
It's because what happened, you know, was that in 2020, me and my mum had a lockdown, and then no one came to celebrate my 11th birthday, and then I thought that it was the worst year of my life, because what happened, is that I started feeling sad, as well as isolated, as well as vulnerable, I then used to have difficulty in writing, and I then used to encourage my mum, to sing a song to me, which actually makes me concentrate, on writing, because without the singing, I'd lose my confidence. But what happened, whenever I created my second book, which was Henry's Christmas with Friends, and my third book, Henry the Superhero, I didn't even need, I didn't need someone to sing to me, actually, in those years. So, yeah.
That's brilliant.
What then happened?
No, that's amazing. I think what you're doing is absolutely great, and is gonna help lots of people in a similar situation to you. What do you have a goal that you would like to achieve through your books?
Yes. The goal that I'd achieve, for a lot of people, to sell, as well as buy all of my books, and it'll then also make me happy, because it'll just make me spread the message to everyone, all across the world, as well as the globe, I'd often tell them, that autistic children are not even horrible, but it's their behavior which can be really challenging for them, because when I used to be diagnosed with autism, at 2 years of age, and then what happened, I had the same thing when I was a 5 year old kid, and I then used to have a habit, where I used to touch strangers in the back, it often has caused the receiver to often feel really uncomfortable, and then after that this woman came up to my mum, typically for no reason, and then after that she then started shouting extremely loudly, at my mum, and then calling her a horrible mother, and then asking her rhetorically of why she couldn't control her child, and she was like, how couldn't you how couldn't you control your child? Like, how could your child do such a thing and all of that? And it then caused my mum to become really upset, with the lady, as the lady then stormed off. And what happened, is that I then started having anxiety. And, as I then started suffering, I then used to have a habit, of where I didn't want to go outside, because what obviously happened, is because I used to feel scared, as well as vulnerable at the same time.
The last question I had, Reese, was just about how much you feel eating right helps you with your condition.
Well, it's helping me 100%. Like it's helping me what 100%, because I'm starting to eat healthy right now. I'm starting to eat vegetables, like I used to do yesterday. And what then happened, when I was little, I used to have autism, and I then used to eat lots of junk food as well as processed food, it wasn't really good for me. And what then happened, as I then started suffering from sensory issues. For example, I couldn't even wear any clothes. I couldn't even wear any trousers or shorts and or underpants. And I also couldn't even speak. I couldn't even think. It was a really tough time for me due to it being really hard. And I then couldn't even move. And I then used to fidget a lot, typically like a monkey, which is like how a monkey dances, which is like really funny of what I said, of how people fidget like a monkey.
Yeah. That's great. And that's really good, the difference that you've had and that you've noticed, and it's been brilliant, the effect it's had. So thank you so much, Reese, for giving us some time today and answering those questions. It's been brilliant to talk to you.
I've also forgotten, to show everyone, a very small detail in the recording. Here's my first book that I made in early 2021. And this is what the back cover looks like. This is what the second book that I created in late 2022, looks like. And this is what the back cover also looks like. It looks similar to the other one. And finally, this is what the third book, which is Henry the Superhero, looks like. And also, this is what the back cover looks like. So, yeah,
that's amazing. That's brilliant. They look absolutely brilliant. We're going to share the links to where people can find them if they want to buy them. We're going to share all the links in this podcast. So that's brilliant. Thanks for showing us.
There's a link in the description if you want to buy one. Thanks for watching.
That's brilliant. Thanks so much, Reese.
Goodbye.
Bye. Okay, that was brilliant. Shamika, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm great. Thank you, Ryan. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing brilliant. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting, and thank you for inviting my son, Reese, as well. Thank you so much.
That's all right. That's awesome. It's great to speak to him. He's a great kid, and I love his books. He's doing a brilliant job. So we're going to get more into the whole story of how all this came about with you, first of all.
Thank you.
So let's go back to the beginning with yours and Reese's journey, and just talk a bit about when he was diagnosed, at what age that was, and if you noticed any differences in him, and how that experience was for you as well as a parent.
Well, big question. Yeah. Now, so Reese is now 14, and when the changes started to come when he was two, he was diagnosed when he was three, but there was a significant change came to his behavior since it was just like after 18 months, you know. So he's like speech gone completely. He's connection with the world, connection with us, just gone gradually. His eating habit changed really. He, as a kid, like till 18 years, he used to be, we used to like hide fruits from him. Like he used to be fruits lover and all this. But suddenly he stopped eating any kind of fruits, any kind of like normal food, we would say, any healthy food. And he was just craving for specific some chips. All dry food, chips, chicken dippers, fish fingers, stuff like that, and chocolates and cakes. And it was very hard to give him water. You know, he wouldn't drink water. So he was very constipated. And at that time, I was working for NHS as a nutritionist for kids as well. And there was two different things. One was for eating disorder, other one for was for weight management. So, and also used to do different projects through council, social service, and things like that. So I was and I was doing my PhD in University of Surrey. So I had to stop everything. Like I was so depressed, as you asked what happened after that. I just couldn't, and there was no solution. Like doctor, anybody, any private doctor, any homeopath. Like I even went to astrologers, you know. I was so desperate, like what's happening? And it's like there's nothing gonna happen. This is autism and just live with it. So seeing the child, to lose your child bit by bit, you know, the child who used to know, a happy child to a miserable child. He just told in the interview that how difficult it was for him to just even keep some clothes on his body. He had serious sensory issues. So it was hard, really hard. And to see as a parent, day by day, and not getting any help. So I started to just, you know, I was spending, I left my PhD, I left my career, I left my job. I was went to depression, serious depression. And I was just looking for how do I help him. So from there, I left all these jobs and tried to start doing private practice, but the intention wasn't anymore into money or career. That was more about what's the point when my only child is like this? I can't help him. And then I joined, you know, the care home for autistic care homes and mental health units. I started a job as a carer support worker from there. So it was a big change in my life, and just to understand what is autism, how autistic children behave, and how to help them professionally, and all this. So that's how my journey started with autism. And he was a non-verbal child. He couldn't speak till he was, say, six. And it all started when I changed the diet and, you know, changed the lifestyle, basically, changed a lot of things. So we are very much into a very strict diet for last 7, 8 years. It's not 7, 8, 9 years actually. So we are gluten free, dairy free, corn free, soya free, sugar free, a lot of free stuff. And it was very hard at the in the beginning because he wouldn't take any smell of vegetables. Eating is far away. He used to vomit. So from there to become a vegetable eater, and 5 days we eat lots and lots of vegetables with, you know, cooked vegetables and homemade food and drinking water, get rid of all the cakes and processed food and all this. It was a big journey.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, that's one thing I was going to ask you. I mean, getting children to try new things and to eat healthier foods is pretty hard anyway. And obviously with autism, it's going to be even harder. So, I mean, how hard was that journey, and how did you approach that getting him to start eating those foods?
So the first thing is, how did I know that food gonna help? That's the first question comes, right? So I was thinking, like, when, so now there are a lot of help, but if I'm talking about 12 years back when he was diagnosed, there was not help. Like, there's not much, this many information was not there. So basically, I took all the small trainings that I needed, like locally and whenever, but I was searching constantly that there should be a way, like, how I'm losing him so much every day. And he wanted, like, you can call him 100 times, he wouldn't even respond, you know, like, he was not listening to us. We did go for hair test and all this, you know, but it wasn't like that. His hearing was okay. I couldn't figure out that how I'm calling him and he's not looking at me, but his hearing is okay, you know. I think all the parents, all the autistic parents, just couldn't make sense, like, how it's possible. So the challenge was, so I was thinking that what extra thing is going from outside, why he's like that, because there is no scientific reason. It's a mysterious condition, that's what everybody was saying, and it never get better. But then it's how he's getting worse, you know. So that was my searching. And then I searched, and there was a lot of, because I'm a nutritionist, was already, it was helpful to find a lot of nutrition related articles and things. And then so I just realized, yeah, the only thing is going out from outside is food, and the food he's eating is not healthy at all. You know, I used to feel shame, like, I am a nutritionist and my son used to eat all this kind of food and I couldn't control him. So from there, I was like, if I change his food day by day, and then by this time I took a lot of other trainings, not only just like our typical, I have 3 master's degree anyways in food and nutrition. By that time I was doing PhD, but then I started to look for other things like kinesiology. I did go for all sorts of workshops, and it was like I spent so much money just for the taking trainings, and I have so many titles. I know I've done a lot of trainings to help him, and gradually I realized that food is really important. So then now come to the question, then how? So again, I see a lot of autistic children as a specialist. The first thing, when I say that we need to give them healthy food, everybody knows, but how? So we have to go very slowly. You know, there are for autistic children, their microbiome is not okay. So if we give them a lot of like good microbiome, probiotics, things like that, then gradually the food habit changes. You know, the we need to do sort out their mouth microbiome as well, because the first thing it goes to the mouth, and when it stops there, like Reese, I used to give him, I remember even a little bit of pee, he used to be, and that vomit I had to clean for like 2 hours, you know. And I still like can't understand that how that little bit of one pee would make him vomit so much. As what was that? So he was a very challenging, you know, typical autistic child. From there, for me, it took me, I took patience, like time. I said, okay, if I change even one food, even it's for 2 months, I would do that. So it's not like I'm trying for 7 days and he didn't eat and I gave up. No. It took me, say, 2 months to just introduce him one little extra food, just to like hiding it from in his. And they are very, they're because their sensory is very strict, strong, so they know that you are giving something in the food. So you know, it was like very in the beginning, hide and seek game. Gradually, after 2 months, he started to eat that food, and then another one was introduced. So that's how it took me, say, 2 years just to introduce him 4 or 5 food. And when 4 or 5 food, healthy food, started to go into his body, and then water, when his pH balance was becoming normal, his, you know, microbiome was developing inside, good microbiome, I think then a lot of things became easier, you know. And when our body and when children's body also feel that now I'm feeling good actually, I saw like nine out of 10 autistic children after a few months when they start to feel good and bodies kind of stop eating, craving for those other food. Then they just want a normal food because the sensory issue reduces, the restlessness reduces, the hyperactivity reduces, the sleep come back. So as a child, they also feel that I'm feeling good. So then they kind of then starts to eat themselves. However, I have my own program, so it's different now. If anybody, wants to try with a professional, so it's different, but still parent can try when I was trying by on my own. It took me that many years, 2 years to sort him out, but now it's much easier. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. That's awesome. And just jumping back slightly in time. So obviously, when he was first diagnosed, you were reaching out and trying to see whether you could get any help from, medical places. And basically, their answer to you was there's nothing they could do. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And till now, it's no change. There's no help for me. Mainstream treatment, there's no help. Yeah. But we have a lot of ways.
It's sad that the medical side is still like that, because as well it kind of puts people off the holistic as well, doesn't it? Because they're told that you can't do anything.
Yeah, but the thing is, they say there is no help, but they don't say that try in medical, that try in alternative. So if they say that try in alternative, I can give you one of my amazing examples. So when I started with race, and so all these, when a child diagnosed with autism, we go under the pediatric team. They see us twice in a year, depending on child's severity. So all the pediatrics, they knew me and Rhys, and everybody knew that I was trying these crazy things. And so there's like, it's all waste of time. And the pediatrics said me the same thing. The GP was a bit more harsh, and she was like, "You are just wasting your time, really. You're crazy. You are not accepting your child." I'm like, "I'm accepting him. Nobody else is struggling with him as much as I'm doing, because he couldn't sleep, say, every 1 hour, 10 minutes. He used to wake up for 2 hours. So who was with him? It's me." So, but I wanted my son to sleep better. I wanted my son to wear clothes. I wanted to enjoy summer or winter. I could want, Anyway, so that was the story for, say, after 3 years, when Reese's speech come back. The worst thing was Reese had was pronounced, he was like, he used to have infections in every month, kind of every other month, every 1.5 months. So 9 times doctors used to give him antibiotics. And I was like, I knew that the cycle, but until he comes out of the, until he comes out of this cycle, there was no way out. So I wanted to break that vicious cycle, that infection, going to the doctor, giving antibiotics, autism increasing again, so it was a cycle. And when I took all these initiatives, gave him the proper supplements, and his sleeping got better, his immunity got better, his food have, changed and all these. Now, after 3 years, he didn't have, for 3 years, from 9 times in a year infection, 9 times of recording of getting antibiotics, for no antibiotics, no infection for the next 3 years. And then one time doctor called us just to see him, like, why he's disappeared. And by this time, the pediatric team released him because he didn't have any more health issues. And pediatric team knew before then the GP that his speech came and all this, and because I changed all the diet and giving him the supplements and all this. And so they were very happy. But when the GP saw him, she was shocked. She was like, "Can't believe that is the same child." Because when he used to go, he couldn't sit down. He used to go and touch everything in GP's room. And they has to be like, "Don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it." And from there, as child, when they're sit down talking to her, and answering questions, she was like shocked like anything. So she then stood up and hugged me and say and asked to give her my cards, that if anybody's interested, then she can refer, her clients to me if anybody's interested in private treatments. So that was a big eye opener for GPs and pediatrics as well, that how this can help. Now we become the example in our GP, in our pediatric team, and they just, other day the pediatric the disease has epilepsy as well, and that is also very much controlled. So he just said, "I wish you could teach us what you are doing to him." That's the pediatric in the NHS. And I said, "Now you be," and he, this doctor, that they're now believing in all the food and nutrition and all this. So it's amazing to see that they are now changing their views, by seeing other people, other children are really improving in their life.
Yeah, that's good and great that they're open to it as well. Sometimes people can be dismissive of it, but that's really great that they're open to it. And as you say,
Some
the
of
pr
them are not. Some
yeah,
of
so yeah,
them.
definitely.
Yes, some of them not. Because I have clients in USA as well. So
Yeah.
there are a few, there are some doctors in Manhattan City, in New York City, in North Carolina. Those, they know me very well. New Jersey, they know, because a lot of children, are improving. But there are still some pediatric are like, "Oh, she's giving," because they know what I'm giving, what's happening, and parents are very open to say, share what, what their children are taking and how they're improving. So some of them are very happy. "Oh yeah, fantastic." But some of them are like, "Are you saying a nutritionist, a naturopath, a nutritionist, a therapist, they're changing autism?" Don't believe in it,
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. On that subject as well, I know when we spoke before off air, sorry, you had quite a bit of pushback from people when you first started this, didn't you? So give a bit of detail on that.
You mean the autistic group, that one, because I talked to a lot about.
Yeah, and I know I said you said you I think you were reported to social services or something,
Oh
were you, and stuff, yeah.
So yes, that's yes. So I was reported. So what will happen with autism, when autism journey starts, is it a lot of family breaks down because of the stress, the sadness, the grievance, and all these, our family broke down as well. So me and Reese were actually in a women refuge for 16 months. We were in the refuge, so it was tough time, but in the same time, I would say it's a blessed time, a blessing time as well, because I had to give up my all the jobs and everything, and I used to just sit down and at home and look after Reese and me, And that 16 months, first 8 months, it took me to decide, and find out that food is important, and always, why is my child? There are so many. I used to feel jealous that time. I'm sorry to say now, angry that there were moms who are smoking, alcoholic, their children were okay. And I was like, "Why me then? Why me? Why my child is like that? Why my family break down and all this?" So why me? That why me question, I would say, was the pillar of this success, whatever came later in our life, that I realized that my childhood wasn't okay. My lot of trauma wasn't like okay. I had a lot of trauma in my life, which a lot of people don't have, So, and I was like, okay, so I kind of start to work with everything, and that's why I went to learn therapy, and become a therapist, and I heal my lot of things in the same time with Reese's things. So what I was saying, that when I decided that I'm gonna change the diet and all this, his dad and I was as separated, so they the, and that there was a big reason, because the parenting were very different. I wanted to try something, and then his dad didn't want to, because everybody was saying like there is no reason of trying, he will not get better. But my question is, I wasn't even trying looking for getting better. I was just looking for him to not getting worse anymore. There are two different things, right? That every morning I was waking up, I was losing my child, some of him.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't want to lose him anymore. So I was trying my best not to lose him anymore. You know, it's not about trying to make him better. You know, see, that was my goal that time. So, but it didn't go with his dad's family. So they reported me to social service that she's trying all these, she's trying to give him probiotics and this and that. And social service called me. The school, when I changed, told them that don't give my son any gluten and dairy free and this dairy food. I'm providing you the food. Just give. So they reported me as well. School reported me to the social service. Know me very well. I've been reported for so many times. Oh dear. So yeah. But when I explained that what's the problem if I'm trying my son to feel better by not to give him gluten food and not to give him dairy food, not to give him food that has chemical. I'm making the food, or there are now a lot of options now, you know, why can't they use it? And when you buy yogurt, they're like, try yogurt, why probiotic? I'm like, but yogurt has milk in it and my son has issues with that. So, and I also asked that, oh, you don't know how much probiotic you are giving. I was like, I'm a nutritionist. However, when you give your child probiotic, when you give your child yogurt, do you know how much probiotic is in that yogurt? If you don't know, that could be trillions, that could be two, we don't know. But with this probiotic, I know that how much is in there, you know, and he's not getting worse, he's getting better. What's the problem? So yeah, there were a lot of challenges that time. Now it's much better. Now the last time schools reported me, again, that was 2021, again the food, and I was like, this is old story, what's the problem? So the social service called me and I just said, in your record, it's already there that he's dairy free. So what's the new thing came now, you know? So they just said, we told the school that if mom feels okay, if child feels okay, then there shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. It's kind of a sad indication of how bad the nutrition of society is, that someone who decides to eat really strictly healthy it's seen of as crazy. You know, it shouldn't really be that crazy. It's just, you're just giving your child as healthy food as possible to try to help him. And yeah, it's really sad that that's somehow seen as crazy by people and that they felt the need to report you.
Yeah, some schools do that. They do healthy food. But the thing is, when they're saying healthy, they feel like it's only salad and stuff. But they don't feel like some children could have gluten allergy. It's not allergy, I wouldn't say, sensitivity. So because of the term as well, there is a big misunderstanding, because they're like, schools say, bring us the evidence so he has allergy, but it's not allergy, the sensitivity. So it's different than allergy, you know. It's not, yeah. I mean, it's just something his gut is not taking.
Absolutely. So once you started, obviously you started this, you started sorting out his nutrition. How long did it take for you to start to see some results in him, some real changes? And what were those first things you started to notice in Reese's condition?
The first thing came, Reese couldn't sit down. So he used to be constantly walking, restlessness, what you call in autism. He couldn't sit down for 1 second. So when I started to, so within like 2 months, this restlessness wasn't just at home, it was at school as well. And we have to give him that heavy coat, you know, the special coat. It's very heavy. It's like 20 kg he had to wear on his body. But when the school changed, we couldn't get the coat anymore. So that's the time I had to introduce new food and all this. And within 2 months, he's one-to-one that time he used to have. one-to-ones told that, yeah, there are some changes because he just sit down and normal. And one day his class teacher, that was like eye-opener, and she just say he stood in the on the door. He went very early in the school. For some reason, I had to drop him. So he was the first child in the school, and every child was going through the door. He was calling them by name. And that the day, his class teacher was like, "I can't believe that," you know. So then I knew that, okay, it's working, you know, it's a big thing. Yeah. And it took him like, say, 1 year for the speech to come. So he used to do echolalia, which is like if you say something, he would be like saying that. But that's not the what we call a speech, like, speak is like you are saying, I'm saying something, you are answering, you know, that kind of things and understanding. So that it took him 1 year for the speech to come properly. And that would be like, say, seven. So till seven, he wasn't really speaking, you know, so a late speaker.
Wow. And that's powerful. And that must have felt great for you to start to see those changes, especially with how much pushback you got doing it. And to do that, you must have felt like vindicated and relief, maybe. I don't know what emotions you felt when you started to see those changes.
The when he's the biggest for me, the biggest thing was he couldn't sleep, and so I couldn't sleep, and he couldn't wear clothes, so he couldn't really go out much, you know. And with his condition, he the time he was feeling like, ooh, he used to take all his clothes off. Doesn't matter if he's in the bus, if he's in the street, it just doesn't matter. So I used to be worried all the time, you know. So the time he stopped all of these, and his skin also, he had a very dry skin. I used to use special, I think, Aveeno, this and that. Like one Aveeno, big 200 ml, would go for a week. He used to be so dry skin. And when he started to heal, the gut healing and all these, we don't put anything. It just he's had a new skin, soft, silky, oily, beautiful skin came, you know. So yeah, a lot of as I say, speech came, sleeping came. Sleeping was a big thing for us. If only people know, or from autistic families, that how hard it is if child doesn't sleep at night, and also everything is quiet, and if middle of the night, if your child starts and start crying, everybody complaints, you know. So I have clients, their neighbors even called police for them. Because it's happening every night, so they just called the police for, and it happens so many times. School excludes children. And so from all of these to where I am now and where this is now, it's a big blessing. And I also, one more thing, I gave myself the time, because I also do follow law of attraction, and I've said to God that I give myself 7 years. If I've 7 years, my son can speak and do this and do that. Like, that was my goal. And 7 and 14, yes, big change. And it's a blessing that now he can sit down for interview, whether how whatever he said, you know. But that's amazing that he could, you know, he could say things, he could say big sentences, you know. It's I wouldn't explain, you know. It's only the people, we are in the we are children in the spectrum, we know that how big it is, you know. And he can write now, and he's using his brain, and it's amazing. He had learning disability when he was diagnosed with, not only because autism doesn't come with just autism, it comes with other things. It's ADHD, he was in the borderline. He had learning disability. He's like, you can see money things. He has dyscalculia, so I kind of do all these things in to make him keep reminding him that the value of the money and all these. He didn't have dyslexia, but he had dyspraxia. So that's why he was said when he was, I think he was the your first question or second question, when he was saying that I was singing when he was writing. Because of that gap, he couldn't write properly. So I had to sing. And then I don't know who, it's only my voice did something. And I think I sang for, I don't know, 2 months constantly. And he used to write. And I have videos in, I posted in Facebook. It's like that time I stopped singing. He's like, "Why did you stop singing, mommy? Why?" Like, so because he was writing. So that happened in the first time, first book. And what he couldn't also explain that why he chose to write, because he wanted to, that he said that nobody came to his birth. It made him feel so sad and isolated. So that feeling made him like, oh, because I'm autistic, nobody came to see or celebrate my birthday. And from there, he actually, I said, okay, just write your feelings. You know, write what you are what you are feeling. I will publish your book if you write it. So, and he said that he felt it was the worst thing, a birthday ever. And I said, okay, we'll transform it to the best birthday ever. You will remember at age of 11, your first book was published. So it kind of changed it to a positive things. You know, that's all he was trying to say, but he couldn't explain it very clearly to you.
No, that's brilliant. He's done such a great job, as you say, to not only have made the improvements he's made, he's writing books and sharing his experiences, which is going to help other kids too. So no, that's great. He's done such a good job there. And obviously you've done such a great job with it too, to have got him there. So you must be really, really proud of that.
It's, I don't know if he's proud or not, but you know, with we are autistic moms, so there is always some worry. He has epilepsy as well. There is always a worry that hopefully tomorrow everything will be fine. You know, tomorrow, and now he's teenage, so there are other challenges comes with the teenage hormones. You know, on the top of that, autism. But yeah, he's doing really well. You know, autistic children, they cannot tell lies. So when he's very strictly truth, telling truth, and so somebody doing something. So for an example, we went to London, and there were two of these, I think there are two teenage boys. They were smoking cigarette, and it's prohibited in the platform. And he just, without any fear, like, "Don't you know that smoking is prohibited? Why are you smoking?" I'm like, "What?" And he's like, I was like dragging him. I was like, "I don't want any trouble." But, and he's like, "Mommy, they are doing the, that the one who's doing wrong." So there's challenges as well. You see, it's not like a very, you know, everything is sorted. It's
Oh, yeah, it's an ongoing journey.
an ongoing journey.
So you mentioned, gut health quite a few times, which we know is really important. For all health as well as for this, and you said that he takes supplements, you have supplements for him. So what supplements did you find that kind of helped him and were of good benefit?
So the first thing is, if any, okay, so this is a kind of medical question. So so if any children, those there are, say, from my experience working with autistic children and their parents, there are some, most of the children, they wouldn't eat healthy food and all this, but there are some children, they, it's not hard for parent to give them healthy food and all this. They have other issues because it's a spectrum autism, so there are so many issues there. So if the child, like my child, he was strictly eating no healthy food, so for him to give him supplements was mandatory, because as I said, I was giving, so doctor was giving him antibiotics 9 times a year. Out of 12 months, 9 months he was on antibiotics, you can imagine. So I was like, okay. So the first thing I targeted, a condition like this, was his immune system. So I literally just gave him vitamin C and all this, but the vitamin C has to be high absorption and also not releasing in the same time. So there are a lot of supplements you'll find, which is, and supplement that cannot have any flavor, any of those additives and stuff like that, which they do for children. Which is not good for children like our autistic children or children with ADHD or other special need conditions, you know. So there are probiotic, I said already. There are like two basic supplements you can give, because rests are sometimes, there could be fish oil, but it depends on how much child is gut health is better or not, their liver health is better or not, gallbladder, how much is this working, not working. That working, not working doesn't mean like it's damaging. It's more like, is there all the enzymes are there or not? Is the bile salts are there or not? So those things we see first when a child comes. So normally for even vitamin C also do cleansing. Now, if a lot of these children, they don't eat fruits, you know, it's challenging. They might eat, say, what kind of food they would have, maybe a banana, but it's a no-no. Banana is a no-no for this kind of condition because it's high sugary foods. A lot of children would eat watermelon, but again, it's high sugar, so we don't give him in this condition. Now, the children who are eating healthy, they don't have any food habit issues. You can just, like, parent can offer and they would just easily have it, but they are still having autism. Then I will change, like, mostly we'll try with the food, you know, rather than supplements. There would be some supplements, but so we don't gradually, like, supplements, you kind of depending on child's conditions as well, because some of the supplements are food for the parasites and the bacteria and the fungus and the mold are in the stomach, in the gut health. So it's really important to know that how much parasites are in their body, you know, how much fungus, how much bacteria, how much mold. They're like, most of their systems are full of that. And what happens when these bacteria go, and as you'll see that most of these children, they don't eat water, sorry, they don't eat healthy food and they don't drink water. So what happens, their pH balance changes, yeah? And bacteria in the gut, it, like the good bacteria dies, kills the bad bacteria. And bad bacteria creates their own zone in there, and create that their bowel is there, their saliva is there, their DNA is there. You can understand the child's body becomes bacteria's factory. Yeah, bacteria growth factory. So, and these children, most of them, they have constipation. So what's happening now? They can't even pass the toxin that they came from, coming from their own food. Also, the toxins are creating in the gut by the bacteria. And after a certain time, it goes through the, because we have vagus nerve, which is from our colon to our brain. And it goes, so when after a certain time, it starts go from our colon to our brain, to the vagus nerve, and there's a blood and brain barrier. And when it's too much, it then breaks that and insert in that brain and nervous system, and then it goes to different paths. So, and that's why, depending on what kind of bacteria there, what kind of fungus in there, what kind of mold is there, the spectrum is different. Yeah. So it's straight away, first thing, and the why I was saying about gluten and dairy-free food as well a lot. A lot of these children, they don't have the ability of the gut to break that chemical thing, you know, the chemical structure. So it's there in a half broken way. So every day they're eating it and it's staying there half broken way. So a lot of other parasites, a lot of other bacteria, fungus goes there and stays there. So that's why it's... Vitamin C helps hugely to cleanse that. The first thing any parent should look for, clean, like, bowel open. That's the first thing. So if your child can drink plenty of water, and sometimes some of the children have also issues. They drink to the mouth, and it just went goes to the toilet straight away, comes out. So that means water also doesn't stay in the body.
Yeah.
So So that's why I'm saying is children has different phases, but any children should have like vitamin C and probiotic is the first start, and then after that, if there are other issues, then they can try. There are so many books. There are like they can follow, you know, professionals like us. There are they can ask questions. There are so many things in now, you know, there are so many naturopaths, so many doctors, but I kind of develop my own program, and that's not only based on nutrition. The reason is I told you that when I was in the refuge for 16 months with Reese, and I found out that we had a lot of trauma and a lot of autistic children. When I have say now, like 8 years I'm working for these children and their parents. When I take the history, 9 out of 10 parents have severe trauma. And that trauma comes with the child, and child is also traumatized. A lot of children are born in a family where there's domestic violence, or mom or dad was brutally treated when they were a child, or so many things. Until you release this, child will suffer, you know. So I one part of my treatment is of course nutrition and all this, but other part of my treatment is to, when the therapy part come, is to release this emotional burden from our body, the birth trauma. For me, like for a mother, father, and the child, you know, when it's like a lot of puzzles there. It's not only one puzzle. When the whole puzzles are set together, then you can see the picture, and it helps. And I'm gonna with you, like it's a big opportunity for me to, you know, to talk in this platform. So with whoever would be your listeners, I would just want to say that this emotion is so important for, because what you can see, the autistic children, where they struggles, emotion, they can't express. And that's the place nobody touches. And I do work on this every day, therapy, releases emotional trauma. I don't think without that releasing the trauma, he would overcome that much just with the food, because he was overloading, you know, like homelessness, parent separation, divorce, court case, this and that. It's huge for a child. And we don't deal with it. So everything is our environment, you know, and everything is in our energy system. And until we change our energy system, until we change our thought patterns, until we change our environment where the child is growing, it's not possible that child will grow healthy. And I believe that that's why now autism is like increasing. It's one in every 50 child is now autistic. When Reese was diagnosed, one in every 160 child was autistic. So you see this, it's only one in 50. It's so much. And I think this, the whole pattern is there, like everything is included. Yeah. Sorry I talked a lot, but I just
that's fine. That is brilliant. It's brilliant insight. And you sum it up perfectly, that health, even outside of just autism, it's a whole package. Like you say, you can't just deal with one part. You've got to deal with it all. Which, as you say, you're doing with that, dealing with the trauma and the emotional and mental side, which is obviously really important. And I think it's why it's so important for people in these who have these, you know, serious issues or these things to deal with, that they work with professionals like yourself, because it's not easy to deal with all on your own. I mean, you know, you managed to do it on your own over many years of learning, but it's not easy. So if you can work with a professional, it's going to be so helpful and worthwhile to you.
Thank you. No, it is. Yeah. But it's a lot of help now, you know, compared to when I started.
Yeah.
I developed this, I don't know anybody else worked like that, but I do develop this surrogate technique where I connect with autistic child through the mother or the father. Because some of the children are very emotionally bonding with their mother. Some of them are with their father. And also there is a scientific reason for that, because when child are in mom's you know, womb, they get all the signals to the umbilical cord, and then the part of the brain still gets to, like, it still opens till they are 3-4 years old. After the 3-4 years old, when their conscious mind, their self-consciousness start to grow, then it stops. Autistic children, ADHD, special need children, they kind of don't grow until they grow that self-consciousness part. They're always open. So they get everything what mom and dad are, you know, going through. And that's why, or like moms say, I don't know how they know it. You know, just new. And the because what you are thinking, they know it, is the scientific way, you know, created.
That's really interesting. So it's, they're basically just, yeah, they have that sixth sense almost of what you're going through, and they pick up on it.
Yeah. So if we're going through a really bad day, they know it. If we're really feeling bad for the child, that why my child is like that, they know it. There's no escape. So the only way of escaping is to get rid of this thought and set a goal that, yeah, the belief that, you know, when I started, nobody encouraged me. It was so much criticism. I don't know. I still think that what I did it, you know, I just believe that this is I really wanted to do, and let's see, because what I'm going to lose, you know. So when I tried that it happened, but nobody motivated me, you know. Here now we have podcast, we have so many things people can hear, and positive stories are coming.
No, and that's important. The positive stories are a brilliant part of it, which is why we love to share them here. And you know, thank you to you and Reese for sharing the stories as well. I don't want to take up too much more of your day, but before you go though, tell people where they can find you and how they can work with you if that's something they're interested in.
Okay, thank you so much. So I have a website called shahmikaagun.com. I have Instagram page called Angelic Healing with Shahmika. Email shahmika@gmail.com. Reese has his Facebook page, Reese Faulkner. I have YouTube channel as well. It's same Angelic Healing with Shahmika. So you'll find me if you search me also. I did a lot of writing in Bengali. That is because there was the huge traumatic, like there's very different than Western side of the world to Eastern. So I kind of worked hugely to develop this concept that autism not a curse, because that time people, Bangladesh, last 7-8 years, I wrote so much for them, and now they believe that autism is not a curse, but people used to believe that. So you'll find me, if you type Shahmika Agun, you'll find me in YouTube. There's some old interviews. As I said, email as well, shahmika@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's brilliant. We'll put links to everything in the show notes, and we'll also link to where people can get hold of Reese's books as well, if they're interested in getting hold of them, because that's brilliant.
A little bit about Reese's book. He couldn't explain properly, but
yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
so he wrote the book is about an autistic child who was 7 years old, and he's non-verbal autistic child. So if you read the book, you will find, like, he just writes what he feels when he feels this, why, you know, like for Christmas, everything was happy, but Henry Robinson, who is his character, was feeling miserable because it was just too much. And why, how he's affected. The reason he also wrote the book about spider, again, he couldn't explain today, but the reason was spider kind of attracts him. He's got 8 eyes, 8 legs, his vision is very different, but people get scared by the spider. So he wanted to say through the book that autistic children are like that, you know, to people, that don't get scared by us. Each story has like all the most of the things happened in his life or my life, So each story has, each book has a different story. If you read it, you'll understand your autistic child more, definitely, because it's written by another autistic child. And we can, by the blessing of God, he can now speak for other children. Yeah,
I think that's a great point you made. It's great for parents of autistic children to read as well, because it's, you know, that he's maybe able to say things that their children can't yet say, and they can understand it. So yeah, I think it's hopefully a really powerful tool that's going to help lots of people. I think it's amazing what he's doing.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's all right, no problem. Thank you to you and to Reese for coming on today. I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
We did enjoy a lot. Thank you so much. And as I said, we are so excited. Since he knew that I didn't tell him way back, just told him last night, and he like,
yeah.
I'm so excited. So excited to sit down with him.
That's great. That's great. He did a great job too. He did a great job. That was awesome. All right. Well, thank you again so much for your time. Thank you to everyone for listening. We'll speak to you all again next week, and let's get optimal together.